This is Pastor Ron Brammer. I want to welcome you to Rock Power Radio. Rock Power Radio is the radio ministry of Rock Power Church. We are a non-denominational, independent church. Our purpose in bringing you these programs is to encourage you to put God first in your life, to trust God, to seek first the kingdom of God, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. This week, we're talking about the four most important beings in the Bible. And to do that, we've begun with the scripture in the book of Hebrews that says, running the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's Hebrews chapter 12. So obviously, if he's the author and the finisher of our faith, then our race is a faith race. And let's be honest with one another, all right? People would rather live by money in the bank and by security and by knowing and by having than by faith. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. You know, we have great organizations, nonprofit organizations in this nation who have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank so that they don't have to live by faith. There is a certain denomination that owns a farm, at least one farm in every county in the state of Iowa. Well, there's 99 counties. They don't have to live by faith. They live by their income. They live by their rent. But you see, we're to run the race looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Christian life is a faith life. Jesus lived by faith. Faith is not a blind leap. Faith is finding out what God says and trusting God to do it. So if we're going to run the race looking unto Jesus, we've got to find out the kind of race Jesus ran so we can do likewise. A few years back, somebody wrote a book and we had all those bracelets. Said, what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do is what Jesus did. You don't have to wonder what Jesus would do, but you do need to find out what Jesus did do, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we need to run this race looking unto Jesus. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, deny yourself and follow me. When Jesus rose from the dead and he was walking this earth with his disciples for those 40 days, he appeared unto the disciples who were fishing. You know, Peter got discouraged and went back to fishing. In the 21st chapter of John, Jesus appeared to them, and he said, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, he's speaking to Peter, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Well, Jesus was about to leave the earth to go to heaven, so he meant follow the example that I have left. Follow my word, follow my example. Now turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now we're going somewhere with this. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Now, most people would think that's a fairy tale. They don't think you can do that. But God wouldn't tell us to do something that with his help we can't do. Certainly, we can do some things without his help, but when it says all, We need His help for the all, don't we? As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, or the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You got to grow to do some of these things. Got to run the race with endurance. A lot of people start out the race. You know the parable of the seed and the sower. They hear the Word of God and they receive it with joy, but they have no root in themselves. They're going on somebody else's experience. And then when they experience a little bit of difficulty, they give up. Amen? I used to be a heavy smoker. And in fact, I used to smoke minimum of 5 packs of cigarettes a day. I was good at it. I never had any difficulty, except in Vietnam, you don't have 5 packs a day. I was a little bit concerned, and we did, once a week, we got what they called an SP package. Big old box about this big from somebody. I don't know where it came from. Not the government, some Red Cross or somebody, I don't know who. But we would get this box once a week, and in it, it had necessities of life. Amen. It had toothpaste, toothbrushes, razors, soap. Had one little box of cigars, which went, you know, rank has its privileges. That went to the lieutenant. And about 5 cartons of filtered cigarettes and about 20 cartons of non-filtered cigarettes. And so everybody, whether you smoked or not, everybody got a ration of cigarettes. But if you didn't smoke, you didn't get filtered cigarettes. That was just, there's no rules on that, but, you know, if you wanted to have peace, you didn't take filtered cigarettes. So I had 2 friends of mine, I never asked them, that didn't smoke. They got their rations every week, and so they gave me their rations. And even 3 rations was, I had to ration, you know. But I'm talking about laying aside things. Years later, the Lord spoke to me about quitting smoking. I was a Christian, still smoked for a while, and I said, I can't quit smoking. I've tried. Now, interestingly enough, twice before I was saved, I did quit smoking. Once voluntarily and once involuntarily. Once when I was in the hospital on oxygen, I couldn't smoke. But another time when I got out of the Army, there was all these people trying to quit smoking that I ran into, and I said, well, if you want to quit, just quit. They said, well, you can't quit. I said, sure I can. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I won't smoke for 3 days, and I didn't, see? But when I wanted to quit smoking, I couldn't. And so the Lord told me to quit smoking. I got mad because I couldn't quit. And I slammed my hand down on my dresser that next morning. You know, I didn't know very much. I was just newly born again. I slammed my hand down, and I said, if God is God, I'll never smoke again. Didn't know a thing in the world about confession. Didn't know very much. I was just born again. But after every hour, I said, I'm never going through that hour again. Well, God helped me. Thank you for the privilege of speaking to you today. As we've been announcing for several weeks, we now have Healing School every Thursday night at 7 p.m. We just run about an hour. We teach what the Bible has to say about healing. And I want you to know that the Bible says a lot more about healing than most of you have ever heard. In fact, most of us, all we've ever heard is why God doesn't heal today. But you see, we're talking about the Bible, not man's experience or opinion based on experience. You see, there are people who've never been born again because they've never heard the term born again. There are people thinking they're saved by being baptized because they've never read the Bible for themselves. There are people who think God's only willing to save some because they've never read the Bible in its entirety. They've never looked at the full counsel of God on the subject. And there are people who do not know what the Bible has to say about healing. We are talking on Thursday nights about healing, with the idea that just like when you heard that Jesus died for your sins, and you could be, by believing that and by confessing Him as Lord, you could be saved or born again, the exact same thing applies to healing. Jesus said He was our Savior. God said He's our healer. Where's the difference? There is no difference. I have in my hand an example called Divine Healing, a little book called Divine Healing by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray was one of the most prolific writers of his era and one of the most respected writers of his era. When we came to Des Moines in 1984, you know, God spoke to me the last day of December 1983 to come to Des Moines. So in June of 1984, we moved to Des Moines. We had our first church service the first Sunday of July 1984 in our home. And we've been going ever since. We started with two people, the only two people in Des Moines that we knew. Man never invited me to Des Moines. God invited me to Des Moines. At that time, there was a little Christian bookstore in West Des Moines, but the main bookstore was downtown called Boone's Book and Bible. It was there for many years. It was eventually bought out and moved to Urbandale, where it was called Wellspring. And they've since, of course, gone under. But I went down to Boone's Book and Bible, and it was a very large store. Had tons of books and lots of Sunday school material and all sorts of church supplies. And at that time, they had one book on healing in the entire store. And it was by Andrew Murray. And the only reason they had it was that they probably thought it was against divine healing. But it wasn't. Let me read to you the introduction to the book that Andrew Murray gave, and I'm going to use it as an introduction to you to our healing classes. It says, "The publication of this work may be regarded as a testimony of my faith in divine healing. After being stopped for more than 2 years in the exercise of my ministry, I was healed by the mercy of God in answer to the prayer of those who see in Him the Lord that healeth thee," Exodus 15:26. "This healing granted to faith has been the source of rich spiritual blessing to me. I have clearly seen that the church possesses in Jesus, our divine healer, an inestimable treasure which she does not yet know how to appreciate. I have been convinced anew of that which the Word of God teaches us in this manner and of what the Lord expects of us. I am sure that if Christians learn to realize in a particular sense the presence of the Lord who heals in their everyday life, their spiritual life would thereby be developed and sanctified. I can therefore no longer keep silent. This series of meditations is published to show, according to the Word of God, that the prayer of faith, James 5:15, is the means appointed by God for the cure of the sick. My purpose is to show that this truth is in perfect accord with Holy Scripture and that the study of this truth is essential for everyone who desires to see the Lord manifest His power and His glory in the midst of His children. I want you to see," he said, "I can no longer therefore keep silent." You see, there are lots of churches who want you to keep silent on the subject of healing.